Welcome to the Minovate Gang podcast for Saturday, December 13th, 2008. I'm Steve Borsch, and we have a special guest on today, but we'll quickly go around the horn. Phil Wilson.
Hello.
Garrick Van Buren.
Hi, I didn't bring my horn.
Tim Elliott.
Yes, I'm here too.
Graham Thickens.
Yeah, I'm here. Go UMD Bulldogs title game today at noon.
Uh-oh.
And national title.
Yeah, national title. And our very special guest, Connie Benson, community strategist. How you doing, Connie?
Great. It is white up here, but we're expecting another foot, you know? All right.
I saw your tweet that you went out and you did a little shopping in preparation for possibly getting inundated.
Yeah, we went and got groceries, so we're ready.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'd like to...
Hitting the right career choice for Connie Benson, something that's tied to the computer. She doesn't even need to leave the house.
That's right. Well, Connie, you know, rather than me try to explain and talk about your background, how about if you just give a quick little blurb about who you are and what you've done and what you're doing now?
Well, yes, it's kind of a quick path. It has been. I spent 9 years in public library land in real life, and then 2 years ago, I was found as an evangelist by a small software company, and my contact just was a great mentor, and started with word of mouth, and that built. And my sister and I created a community around that software product, and it just grew. It was a fairy tale story. And I essentially then created my own brand and built that. And the community management position is just such a thing that resonates with me. It's something I did in library work. And now online, it makes total sense in that community manager, meaning you provide resources and information, an excellent customer support to your customers, and people will buy the product simply because, you know, it is sort of marketing. But what I love is it's marketing, it's public relations, it's quality assurance. I'm involved in product development, and it just covers the whole spectrum. And now, moving forward, I've found that everybody, whether they are writing a blog to small business people, all the way on up through the corporate level, need somebody that's a community manager type to build out their following. And so that at first was a little overwhelming once I realized that, but now I just welcome everybody. And so my whole premise in this is that essentially, I lost my train of thought. The whole premise in this is that
that's okay.
Entirely, yeah.
My premise is I don't know.
I've got it. No, is that it's all about people. And yeah. You know, I mean, you can have the simplest technology or the most complex, but ultimately it's the people. And so I know, Garrick, you're going to talk about the social media aspect, but it truly is about the people. And I think that this isn't a new thing. It's an old thing, but definitely it's about the people. And I'm a people person. And so I've learned, you know, a lot of the technology, but I really think this whole shift is back to the consumer, putting that focus on them. So right now, my day job is working with a social media monitoring tool, which is really exciting because, you know, the companies, they're looking for ROI, and definitely with the economy, you know, they've got to justify something. But that blends in so nicely with my professional work, which is in the community area. And I'm working with so many people, and we'll probably talk about, you know, the one that Best Buy just hired now. And he connected with me yesterday, and he is so excited to be working as Best Buy's community manager. So maybe you can have him on in the future.
We already have that in the works, as a matter of fact, Connie. I connected with him, too.
Yeah. Yeah, a week
ago. Who is he? Who is him?
Heath Burtis in, is it Rochester, New York, or somewhere in upstate New York, right?
He's from Buffalo, New York.
Buffalo, okay.
Yeah, and on the 4th of December, he reached out to me, and he was like, you know, do you have any leads for community manager jobs, possibly remote? And at the same time, you know, I saw Best Buy's job description, and I just loved how they said, you know, this is a remote position. And so I'm a huge, huge proponent of remote, which, I guess that's the last thing to add. My caveat is that I live in northern Minnesota. I in my own little bubble here. And, I've built this up over at least a year to have a personal brand that now I'm just so excited to be invited over to Germany to a business conference next May to speak. And I'm just thrilled. It's just so exciting to be able to, work from my home and do what I do. So,
well, you know, and one of the things that is just so crystal clear is it's not as though there's fewer places online for people to connect. They're accelerating. And what's really interesting, you guys all know O'Reilly and Associates, the publisher.
Sure.
For a long, long time, they've been really adept at understanding the ecosystem that surrounds an open source product or a company or a category or a meme. And they really understand from a real technical standpoint how to engage with the developer community. And a lot of this stuff is so new, but I look at all the stuff that you have on your current blog. I know you're going to redesign it here, but you know, just in terms of Twitter and Friend Feed and Facebook and Plurk and Identica, LinkedIn, I mean, you just think about all the different places that you personally have to interact. And now, if you're creating a strategy for a company, trying to say, here's where you need to be. And then, oh, by the way, you need to manage those conversations. You need to, they're actual people on the other end of this. And how does it scale? I mean, isn't that just an enormous challenge?
But it almost needs to be a human intervention. You know, I guess that's the thing that I think that people have this huge disconnect is that this is, you know, something we put out, we're going to create this magic widget. We're going to put it in Facebook, or we're going to create a Facebook group. And then that's our social media strategy. It's like so wrong.
Yeah.
That for me, I think is where people are really not connected. What do you guys think? Do you think that people get the people part, or do you think that they understand the amount of human interaction needed?
Well, I think clearly I just did a webinar for broadcasters on just the, you know, just the very basics of social media. And I can tell you that most people know they don't get it. They do. I think that at least the biggest ill in broadcasting is, okay, we need to be online. So we'll, like you said, we'll put our stake in the ground. We'll start a MySpace page. Okay, well, that's great. And that's it. You know, oh yeah, we're online. But that's as far as they get. They don't really understand the interaction. And, you know, the industry, specifically that industry, is struggling with cutbacks and layoffs and, you know, fewer and fewer people doing things and trying to get them to commit, because it is a commitment. Social media is a commitment. You have to commit time to it. And I think all of us, have to deal with that social media guilt we have when we haven't done a tweet or a blog post or something like that. Imagine an entire industry that has no time to do that. So I think that they're going to have to get it. Everybody's going to have to get it. If you want to talk to anybody under the age of 35 and definitely under the age of 25, you're going to have to be in this space and you're going to have to talk it. And I think people are going to come to realize that, but it's going to take a while.
Well, Tim, in the wine industry that you're deeply involved in, is there trepidation about starting? Because, oh my gosh, look at all the time, effort, and energy we're going to have to put into just, you know, paying attention and driving content. And oh my gosh, what happens when people start talking back to us?
Right. Yeah. I think that's the biggest issue is that people, they ask the basic question about what do you do when you get a bad comment? You know, what do you do when, people don't like your product kind of thing. So, you know, it starts very basic. It's almost like when we started blogging several years back, you know, convincing companies to get into that. We're at that stage right now in the industry, but as I keep talking to wineries of all different sizes, I actually just kind of start out and say, what are you doing in outreach and what is effective? And most times we're seeing that there are pieces of budgets that are already being spent, which can be reallocated to the social web. And, we can put a program around it. So it's not something that adds to their expense, but it's something that, you know, they've already spending money on, say, print advertising, which doesn't really work anymore. So, you know, we're taking some of that budget and moving it into some social campaigns. So I think that's kind of, you know, in my world, that's the biggest area and the biggest conversation that we have is a real basic one of, you know, what happens when people say bad things. So.
Well, Connie, let me ask you this question. When you think about all the interactions that you're involved in and all the tools, do you ever stand back and look at the integration of all these tools? When you think about the fact that you can do a blog post and it can update Twitter and it can go to your Facebook wall and so there are multiple opportunities for people to connect. But when you gave me the demo of your analytics tool that you're representing, it really does give that 40,000 foot perspective of what is going on conversationally, but it's really on kind of a broad view rather than very, very narrow to your own company's very specific conversation. So what are you seeing in terms of tools and things that are at your fingertips that make it easier to connect all this stuff together and then to, you know, essentially manage it and stay on top of it?
Yeah, I think that the biggest thing that people forget is that you need to be where your audience is at. And I didn't even say customers, just audience, because you can't be everywhere. The web has become so fragmented and so, everybody has their social networks, but you need to start with where are your people at? And then ease into it that way. I think that we are moving towards, you know, Web 3.0. And last week I was reading a lot about data portability, and that's a whole thing based on agreement, right, amongst a lot of people and coming to standards. And Facebook and Google both opened up their, you know, they're trying to get, Google has Friend Connect and Facebook has their version. And I don't know, you know, but it would be nice to, once you sign up for a social network and you create your friends list, then that transfers and you don't have to create a new friends list every time you start a new wherever. Mm-hmm. But on the flip side, I think that's a long ways away. And you know, I guess that in stepping back, I have to, for myself, professionally or in working with a company, would be, you have to start and manage it and try to work with the resources that you have. Essentially, with my first company, in 6 months, I had 30 people under me, and when I proposed my budget, there wasn't a huge discussion about ROI, simply because the small budget that I was asking for, the comment was that essentially this was one, it was their budget for one print text page, you know, for the year. It was such a minute fraction, and that was going to be paying. So So the thing is that I think that's the real key, you know, and I think Tim mentioned that, is that, you know, you need to look at your budget and say, well, where can I reallocate money? And then have someone who is designated, who is identifying where these places are, and then start building out a team. And that team can be your proponents. It's your customers who just absolutely love and embrace your product. It's not your staff. It's your proponents. And build out that evangelist team. And that's where I see, you know, I've experienced so much success with that. In talking to like Dell, I totally agree with them too, that eventually, ultimately, the whole organization will be community managers, that they will all be trained and able to be out on the web and, you know, working or responding to things. And, you know, so Tim also mentioned about responding to negative. And that fear, you have to get over that, because the negative response, that's your best feedback. That's what you need to use to improve your product. And you need to embrace that too.
Just look at what Comcast has done, for example.
Yeah, Frank Eliason, you know, I mean, he's on 24/7, and he's just, you know, I mean, it's everything from somebody's signal to their box to I learned way more. Absolutely. You know,
yeah. Do you see companies using Twitter for more than just customer support aspects, like what Comcast has done and Zappos and a few others?
Yeah, when I spoke in San Francisco, the audience, only about 10% or 15% knew what Twitter was or were using it, and so literally, the next day I did a quick 15-minute presentation on business use case for Twitter, and I had a list of 7 or 8 things that Twitter can be used for. In my case, we're using it for B2B leads, business to business. Of course, it works great for business to consumer. And there's customer service, which we've already covered there. And just building your professional network is great. And I have 3 or 4 more on my blog. Crowdsourcing. Twitter is absolutely great for gaining, you know, information about your product. Look at Jeremiah Wang, how he crowdsources people for his research.
Oh, yeah. All the time.
Chris Brogan. I mean, Chris Brogan is working his crowd all the time for his content, you know. And even for myself, if I'm going to find out, the thing is, you need almost a critical mass, though, to make it effective. And I'd say you need at least a couple hundred people to actually get things back.
The point of that, though, is being in the game, you know, getting in the game. I mean, the way that I found out about TechRiggy is I actually put out a tweet, it was a direct message to several different people, including Jeremiah and Chris and some others, asking, you know, they probably don't know me from Adam, but I asked specifically about tools, and, you know, social media analytics tools and recommendations. And that's how I got these top 4 that I went out and took a look at. And so, you know, could I have found that by brute force Google searching? Well, yes. But how would I have known who, you know, the thought leaders that I'm looking toward, what would they recommend? And now you can ask them. But I couldn't have asked them if I hadn't have started following them and they in turn followed me. And so I could, in fact, send a direct message. So it's being in the game is the number one most important thing. Just get in the game. Start to play.
Right, but I think I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I think that there is a critical mass, and we talked a little bit about this last week, I think you have to have 2,000 or 3,000 followers before Twitter really becomes something where your audience is engaged.
Yeah, for me, my use of Twitter has went through phases and stages, and literally I was using it in different ways and engaging in different ways. When my Twitter following was like from 75, well, up to about 75 to 100, I was learning continually. Those links were just, you know, that was my newspaper. And then when it got higher than that, that time I was spending real quality time with those people and getting to know them. And that's essentially how I got to know so many authors, Shel Israel, and I essentially got to know them personally for a fair amount. But then, yeah, after it started to get higher than 250, 300, 400, the interaction totally changed. And at one point I was kind of disgusted because the personal aspect really got lost. Now at 3,000, I go there and I will, you know, essentially just gab with who's present, but I don't, you know, it's a very different, there's so much noise that Twitter is essentially, you know, blip in, connect with somebody fast and you know, but I'm not broadcasting all of my blog posts either. I don't get enough traffic that way from it, so I don't do that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think, though, that Twitter, the one thing when I was at Defrag that, I don't know how, Graham, you felt about this, but it just felt like for our community panel, there was so much focus on Twitter. And I was speaking to someone yesterday who's working on social media strategy, and the whole focus was, again, on Twitter. And I really think people need to step back and realize that blogging is not dead.
Really?
No, it isn't. You know, I mean, I really feel like, well, I'm just afraid, and this is going to be my prediction, is that 6 months down the road, people are going to say, wow, you know, I have spent 6 months on Twitter. I've got 2,000 followers and I don't have any SEO. I don't have any brand presence. I don't have anything. What have I been doing wrong? And that's just my opinion, but I truly believe you need the piece. You need the blog. You need your content. You need to establish yourself. You need that SEO. How do you guys feel about that?
You know what, Connie? I could not agree with you more. In fact, the way that I position things for social media with strategy is the blog is the hub around which everything else happens. That's the stake in the ground.
And it's especially, your home base.
Yeah,
absolutely. Well, and everything else is a satellite to that.
It is. And now that the integration is accelerating, like you brought up Facebook Connect and then Google Friend Connect and, you know, being able to aggregate tweets on your blog and so forth. But you've got to have a place where people aren't going to have to chase you down. If they like what you've been talking about and the links that you've been putting in to Twitter, that's interesting, but I don't want to have to go back to your page and click older, 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 older to try to catch up on the conversation. And if you've been interacting with other people, that means then I've got to go out to their blog and or their, Twitter homepage and try to figure out what that conversation was, because there aren't threaded conversations within Twitter.
But that's what Twitter search is for, though.
Yeah, I know, but again, the beauty of a blog is, in your case, Connie, you're doing the work for your audience. So you're the one who's the thought leader who's saying, I'm going to bring this stuff together and I'm going to put the links up and the resources and so on. You're not saying to people, hey, I know all this stuff and here's where you could figure it all out for yourself. Because, you know, okay, well, I'll just do it myself. Why do I need to follow you? You know, you might give me a couple of little tidbits here and there, but that's why, yeah, I agree totally.
Yeah. And I think people are missing that. I think there's this huge, like, oh, you know, Twitter's going to solve all my problems. And they're missing that little minor piece that it's a part of, you know, and so for my blog now, I am really, this weekend I'm launching my new site. It's been a long time in the making. My sister does it for free, bless her. And I'm shifting to, a CMS, very proud of having a CMS, and literally, Joomla, you know, is going to bring out the best of my blog to save people from needing to mine it. But I really, you know, feel like this is our obligation to present our material to people. But yeah, so people can get to know me on Twitter, and that's great, and things like that. But I really believe that whether you're a corporation or wherever, you know, doing customer service is fine. You can do that on Twitter. It's good. But it, if you want to go more than that and serve your customers in a bigger way and interact, I really think it needs to be. So anyway, what do you guys see as problems with trying to grow? I think that's the biggest thing, is where do you see problems with trying to grow your followers, whether it's a blog, whether it's your customers or things like that?
Well, I see one of the biggest problems is, if that's the objective, if the primary objective is to grow followers, then people will do things that they might, you know, they probably shouldn't do if that's the primary objective. But if the primary objective is to engage with other thought leaders, for example, well, then ask, you know, making comments or getting involved in the conversation is one thing. But, you know, I'm starting to see people that have, you know, they're following 4,500 people, and they've got, you know, 4,000 followers, and they've done like 5,000 updates and, you know, things of that nature. And I think to myself, how in the hell could you follow over 4,000 people? How could you do that? I mean, so there's one thing about having critical mass and being engaged. And there's another, one of the people that I look at, quite frankly, as kind of a model is Tim O'Reilly. I follow Tim O'Reilly, and he retweets all the time of stuff that is very interesting and great links, and I'm constantly going out to see what he's pointing to. And he also puts in his own value. Mm-hmm. And I think that is where my own personal belief is, other than just, you know, connecting up with people and being in conversation, it depends on what you're trying to do and what you're trying to accomplish. That, you know, if you're trying to connect with other thought leaders, or you're trying to connect with other people in your industry that are doing interesting things, then that's going to shift the sort of value that you inject in it. And that may or may not get all the followers. You might have 300 followers, but, you know, if they're all senior level leaders, that's a perfect,
right. That, yeah, that group. Value in itself is, yeah. Is, you know, and I totally believe in the quality versus, you know, I mean, the quality versus quantity question is, even with people reading my blog, I would prefer to have 500 people engaged to 1500 people signed up and no one reading or commenting. Right.
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, you know, so it's one of those cases where, and I think that's definitely where the whole social media aspect plays out, is that it's a matter of engagement. It's not the whole quantity thing. And that's what makes it hard to measure and hard to, you know, essentially differentiate of what, you know, now I'm shifting into the whole measurement deal, but literally it's the quality. And, That's maybe another really fuzzy gray area that the whole corporate aspect has trouble with, is because, you know, if they're going to have someone in a community position, what's that person doing, you know, and how is that quantified? And so I've been asked, well, what are your, you know, what are your deliverables? And, for me, working remotely, much of my work is more deliverables rather than time, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. It's you're doing outcome based work. Yeah.
Right. And plus, the other reality is that community work means, and I shouldn't say this so literally, but 24/7, you know, it's 7 days a week. You know, when our forms for my first job got hacked, it was Sunday morning. Because those type of people don't, I mean, it's like, that's criminal activity. They don't care if it's, you know, Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. That's not, So literally, people heading into the community management positions, you know, the expectation is that you're going to flex your time. You're going to be available on weekends, holidays, during the week. And, you know, my first customer segment, too, was stay-at-home moms. And, you know, when they were the most active was when their husbands were home, which means evenings, and Saturday mornings were huge, but weekends. And so you need to be available when your customer segment is available too, especially if you're going to do activities. Like, they loved live chats. That was just their fabulous, you know, I mean, that's when I was really finally able to take one of our products and give it personality. I couldn't move it otherwise, competing with Adobe. But so that's another aspect where the human factor comes in. And if you haven't read Rohit's book, Rohit Bhargava, Personality Not Included, that's such a huge book, because that's the human aspect. You can give things personality, and people, you know, that's what the customers want. That's what the consumers want. If they're in the store and they think, oh yeah, you know, this reminds me of this voice or this person or this personality. And I think that, you know, Gary, I'm not sure how to pronounce his last name, Vaynerchuk.
Totally.
You know, the wine guy.
Vaynerchuk.
Thank you.
Gary Vaynerchuk. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, think of how much personality he is providing to an industry.
Right. But Gary's kind of an outlier, quite frankly, as someone that works inside the industry. And Gary is more about Gary than he is about wine. If you look at what he does, and I've spoken with him about it, and he's very upfront about that. But so his personal brand, I think, is where he's going, and it may or may not include his wine persona. But he's certainly a thought leader in the business, and everyone in the business that knows anything about social media knows about Gary.
Right. Well, yeah. And mine is from a high level overview. And here's the other thing that I think people need to really take into consideration is that, and this is from my education standpoint, is that people learn in different ways. And so in Gary's case, I'm not a real huge video person, and the whole podcast thing, if I were in my car still commuting, yeah, I'd be doing podcasts and listening to them, but I'm a real text person, you know? And I think that organizations really need to be conscious of that to provide their community with a variety, because different people want, you know, different things. And so, and that adds another stress to the whole situation, I think, personally. But
well, you know, one of the things that I look at is, you know, I'm going to use you as an example, Graham, on somebody who I think, you know, not to pat, you know, the Minovate guys on the back, but, you know, I look at the balance that you put forth when you do tweets, where you are doing fun stuff, you know, so you're talking about surfing up in Lake Superior or... But for the most part, the stuff that you're aware of and the stuff that you're seeing that you put into your tweets is of stuff that's of interest that I haven't seen. And so, you know, when I follow you, I'm constantly also going out to those links that you're putting in. And is that part of a strategy on your part? I mean, are you consciously doing it?
Oh, absolutely. It's all about sharing and giving, you know, to get back, you know, and really, you know, what I'm doing, I suppose, is more about, you know, the personal branding thing, which we've touched on here. A lot of what's going on Twitter and, you know, in the blogosphere in general is about advancing individuals, you know, and that's a different thing than evangelizing for companies, although it shares, you know, commonalities, I suppose. But yeah, I'm all about trying to share interesting knowledge and pointers to stuff that maybe other people won't see, you know. You know, I'm all about links being the magic of the internet. You know, David Weinberger is one of my contacts from way back when, and he's written huge about that. You know, that's what really makes the whole internet go. You know, and it's kind of a collective, you know, wisdom out there that people can share and as an independent consultant, you know, it's always been my practice that the more you give, the more you're going to get back, you know?
Yeah.
So,
I started following, I don't know if you guys know the firm downtown Idea Park, they're a development firm. One of the principals is Brian Brown, and I know Brian, you know, fairly casually, but noticed that one day that he was on Twitter and I started following him, and the guy, I had no idea that he was just so incredibly funny. I mean, his tweets are stuff like, you know, Ricardo Montalban is 88 years old today. Pretty sure he could still kick my ass. It's just stuff like that all the time. Or the sky is the most beautiful shade of violet right now. This moment of tranquility has been brought to you by Pfizer Pharmaceuticals. I mean, just on and on and on. And maybe that's not his most witty work, but.
What was his Twitter name?
It's IDPK Brian. I'll put it in the show notes. But I had no idea the guy was so witty. You know, happiness is a wet bathroom doorknob. No, wait, I meant revulsion. I mean, just on and on and on. I mean, just you know, some of the stuff is inside jokes, but.
Yeah, there's some funny people on Twitter that I agree, and particularly some of the ad guys, you know, can really be entertaining. You know,
and
that's great. I mean, it gives you a break from your otherwise monotonous day, you know, to read some of these things. I agree. There's some local guys that crack me up too. You know.
Yeah. Too bad that comic twit thing isn't funny.
Yeah. Exactly.
That is a pity. That is a pity.
Too bad.
I don't know, Connie, if you know that's Phil's gig.
Oh, I think I got an invite from Square One. Phil and I are Phil and I are connected. Definitely.
Connie was the first social media strategist or community strategist, that whole genre, the first person I met, and I thought, wow, this is cool. So, I've followed Connie a long time.
Go
ahead, Graham.
I was going to say, I wanted to follow up and talk a little about that in this age of, you know, the personal brand and, you know, free agent nation, whatever you're going to call it. And in the current economic climate, it's moving even more and more towards that, I think. But I wanted to talk a little about the role of and the job of a community manager, because obviously it's coming to the fore a lot. But I know, Connie, you've done a lot as an independent contractor. Now you are full time with Techrigy, is it, or Techrigy? How do you pronounce that?
Well, I'm going with the soft G, as in technology. So Techrigy.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Good.
But Techrigy is kind of cool too.
It is kind of cool.
That's really Techrigy.
they're out in Rochester, New York, and I'm not sure they care what we call them, but anyway, yes.
Buy their stuff. Yeah. But I was going to say, obviously, we're hearing a lot more talk about the community managers being hired at different companies and small and large. I'm more focused in the startup environment. And you know, there's been a lot of posts. There was one on Read Write Web a few months ago about what is a community manager, what do they do, you know, but can you talk a little bit about that, about is it best as a full-time role, or does it really benefit from an external independent contractor, as Best Buy has just done too.
Mm-hmm.
What's your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, the thing for me, and I am going to go back, that I am such a huge proponent of the concept of considering it remote, because I feel like, so Best Buy hired somebody who's from Buffalo, New York, and I think that in so many respects, and I have these listed on my blog somewhere, that having someone from the outside has so many huge pros, because they have an outside perspective. Okay, but here we are back to negative feedback. If you know, you need to realize that this person may have feedback for you about your organization. They might have feedback about your product. They might have feedback about your community, and they might have feedback about your internal, you know, like those types of things. But if the position is implemented correctly and management's ready for it, they're going to embrace and want that information. So in regard to the remote thing, I think that there's some huge, huge advantages. Now, yes, it is good for someone to come into the office and be a part of it. But, you know, when I would go to my home office in Victoria, BC, I was a part of so many meetings and I sat through so many meetings and, you know, everybody had their laptops open and they were all, you know, I mean, like essentially somebody would be called on and they're like, huh? And then we'd have to back up and go over whatever information. And I don't know. It was just kind of like, you know, if you're going to come to this meeting, have the agenda, do it and bring your all of your attention. Right. So that's part of the culture, though, probably of a company. And so I think that in terms of working remotely right now for me and my position, I have never met them in person. I started part time as a contractor and they have adopted me full time. I am working with them. And so I've really tried to, you know, create the ideal position for me. And that is that I am working with customers. I'm working with the product. I am working internally. We're scaling. We're trying to scale fast and efficiently. I'm working with product feedback. The founder, he wants to code. And so literally last Sunday, he gave me the best Christmas present by providing me with a new feature functionality that I've been asking for. And the customers are going to be the winners in that respect. And so literally public relations, I'm out doing the public relations and marketing, which makes the marketing director nervous. And so literally, I will get there and meet them in person, but, it's not, you know, germane to my job. I consider this a Web 2.0 type position. And so I think that companies will be shifting to that. And, so I proposed I'm going to be speaking at Community 2.0 in San Francisco, and I've proposed a session on essentially all the aspects, the HR aspects. Like, you know, this presents a challenge because you're hiring someone who is very independent. It's not a management position, but they're very independent and they're giving a lot of feedback and they have to work with the public and really, you know, that respect, but they also have to work with the internal. And, you know, management needs to realize that they're a change agent, a huge, huge change agent. And so if you're going to hire this person, put them in this role and say, well, now go out and work with our customers and evolve us, and then turn around and just bind their hands behind their back. Do you realize that, you know, I mean, that's going to like create conflict and your person may move on.
Go ahead.
No. Ask. That's fine.
I was going to say, do you see a potential, you know, problems in larger companies that maybe you've worked with some larger companies, I think, where the community manager might start rubbing the PR department the wrong way, or who wants to own it within a company? I mean, is there sometimes struggle between, does marketing control it? Does PR control it? Does customer service or you know, the support people own it?
Yeah. So this, I have to play back on my philosophy and working with, you know, in administration for 9 years, is that essentially for me, the leadership piece is that we all work together and that it's not a matter of managing something. It's not a matter of you know, it is a matter of being responsible. I have feedback here. Is anybody else getting it?
Yep, I'm getting it too.
It's coming from Graham, I think.
Oh, what did I do?
Sorry. I don't know.
I'm hearing it too.
Oh my God, we're falling into a black hole.
So anyway, essentially for me is that, you know, it's like, can everybody work together? And in one of my situations, what happened was the social media team had essentially went and created, you know, presences on Plurk and Twitter and all those places. And friend feed and, you know, Facebook. Well, then there's an email that kind of gets blumped through mass, sent through. And a different department got this idea to go out and make presences on all the social media sites. So, yeah, Graham, those things can happen.
Mm-hmm. Somebody's got to be guiding it to some one person, the CEO or the VP of marketing or something, has to try to get their arms around this. And yet there are, you know, there are those that espouse, let everybody do the social media thing. And, you know, and how many, you know, in the company, I mean, you know, and why, yeah. Why throttle people? And, you know, isn't that how the guy at Comcast started? He just took it on himself, right?
My leadership philosophy is that everyone should be working across and down and up. And, you know, I mean, truly, it's not about who's in charge or who's not in charge in terms of this. And I just think, like, for example, the community manager's role is communications, literally making sure that the different departments know what they're doing. And in job descriptions, I see that cross-functional. I love that. I love working cross-functionally across teams.
Yeah, and, but doesn't that mean it almost has to be an outsider? Because that kind of a thing often would not work then in most corporations that I know of, to have somebody inside that doesn't really report to anybody but has all this sort of, you know, I mean, cross-functional or dotted line stuff. You know, maybe that's why what I'm hearing, what I'm observing, is more people are doing this as outside independent contractors. And like you say, being remote has its advantages, being virtual. Maybe that's the best model then that most companies should be looking at. Is that what you're saying?
But yeah, but how could somebody be remote and somebody to be truly plugged into the culture and the vibe of the company? How can you be an outsider, a consultant, say?
Oh, there's some of us who just make it our job.
Oh yeah, you can learn the culture of a company without having to be there all day.
Well, you can learn a culture, but you can't experience that culture.
Well, it's increasingly, you know, virtual teams are everywhere. I mean, you know, I work with clients that produce software for virtual teams. And, you know, one of the blog posts we were going to do, we haven't done it yet, is how could you seriously do a startup today without being virtual? You know what I mean? It's like every startup I know is virtual, you know, and you learn how to manage that. It's a challenge, to have a culture when your team is scattered all over God's green earth. But it's up to the CEO to guide and form and you know, nurture that culture. And, you know, you have to do it with face-to-face meetings and events from time to time. But increasingly, culture is going online, baby.
Yeah, I really think that the community manager's type of personality is we have to be so perceptive of people and working online and have excellent communication skills. And I think that's why it does work. And yes, you know, I mean, it would be ideal. It would be great for me to be able to go into the office each day. And you know why that would be great is because I wouldn't be working 60 to 70 hours a week. I would leave the office, I would go home, and I'd say, you know, I'm not working. But right now, when I'm in my house, sometimes I'm working on my personal stuff and I'll see something blip in related to work. I'm like, okay, I'll help that person. And so personally, I feel that my employer gets way more hours out of me, essentially. And same when I was doing contract work, that, you know, because you're never done. And, and so in that respect, and to be honest, what Graham's talking about, my first company, they were headquartered in Victoria, British Columbia. They had bought a company and one of their products were developed in Miami. My sister's in the Twin Cities. I was here up here, 300 miles apart. And then we had, they had added on QA in Ukraine. So literally we were all sub-segmented anyway, working remotely, and it worked fine. I know that I was trying to troubleshoot something, and one morning I woke up to a video from the Ukraine, and I'll tell you what, I made a video so fast and sent back. you know, our level of frustration just got to the point where we needed to communicate, and so we used video. And the thing is that now with this company, we have Rochester, New York. I am here. And we have our developments in Argentina. So, you know what I mean? Like, it's totally happening. And I don't think that, and I also work with, you know, another client who's in San Francisco. And at first he was very much, you know, well, I need my community person here in San Francisco. And I was kind of stubborn and convinced him otherwise. I think that, you know, I mean, I wish companies would just consider it. That's all I'm asking is to try it and consider it. And I was really surprised at Best Buy. I need to give them kudos, but I was really surprised to see that they were going to allow someone to work remotely. It looks like it's only through February, so it might be a trial. But kudos to them, absolutely.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and I agree. And you and I'm going to be speaking with Kevin Matheny next week, who runs that Remix program that that they hired the community manager for. So maybe we can succeed in getting him or Keith, the community manager, on as a guest soon. But anyway, Connie, you brought up a very interesting thing: how the personal and business gets mixed in your online life. Did you happen to meet a guy at Defrag by the name of Mark Koenig? Did you sit in on his talk? He's from Saugatuck Technology and has written some great papers and reports about social media. And that was that one big thing I got out of him as far as a trend is that the personal and business aspects of your online life are merging together, you know, whether you like it or not. This is where everybody's going, you know, and you have to learn how to comfortably do that, whether you're an independent contractor, perhaps, or a full-time worker going to a 9-to-5 job, you're going to be dealing with more and more of this in your life.
Well, so Chris Brogan talks about the value of your personal brand. A really good friend of mine, Dan Schaubel, you know, is publishing a book and on personal branding. And then on the flip side, you have Jeremiah Wang, who just does not like the term personal brand. And yet, you know, he's integrated his own so well with whatever job he's doing. And for me, I was partly hired for my personal brand. It's absolutely integrated. And I've chosen now which type of work based on what intertwines with my brand to, you know, I mean, I want to make both go forward, right? It needs to move, both the company, but myself forward too. You need to keep growing forward. It's just a job, but you know, so yeah, I agree totally, Graham.
Yeah, but it everyone needs to be responsible for their own career, and increasingly people are going to be going more and more towards being independent entities, you know, free agents. And so I think this personal branding stuff is very interesting. I too follow Dan. I guess his new book's going to be called Me 2.0.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which sounds great.
That's clever.
Yeah, one of his latest blog posts, and he did a video in it too. And he made predictions for 2009, which I thought were great. And Connie, I appreciate you introducing me to him. I haven't actually connected one to one with him yet, but I know we're following each other because I see him showing up on my blog log readers, you know. And and I do look forward to his book because I think he's really onto something. He's trying to help millennials understand this whole thing, where, you know, some of us have been doing this for a long time, and you in particular, Connie, I think are really out in front of this, you know, kind of mixing the personal and the business, and it's a reality for everybody, like I say, going forward, and you know, people who work online, knowledge workers, you know, this is
yeah, isn't that the truth? So let's talk about knowledge workers, and then I want to shift it back to something Graham touched on earlier, and I think it's going to be huge for companies. You know, we're shifting from an industrial age to knowledge workers, right? I mean, the whole concept of people want the gratification of working with the knowledge, and they're going to want more flexibility. I think that if people are willing to consider remote workers, they can have a better selection of candidates. I have to put that in real quick. But yeah, it's shifting towards knowledge workers. And Graham, you'd brought up something earlier about sharing and the whole concept of social media. And I was just reading a blog post this morning about a company who patented some of their software and you know, is... Should it be open, which so much of the web is based on, right? Versus being a patent. But the theme for the conference that I'm going to speak at in Germany is called the share economy. And I just find, so if you, I should link you to that, but it's just so interesting. Apparently there's some German person who has decided that the share economy, and they've listed out all the ideas based on that. But, you know, really, social media is about sharing. And Graham, you mentioned a whole bunch of things earlier in this conversation about we're sharing of ourselves. We're sharing of our information. Customers are sharing about how they feel. Customers are driving word of mouth. Customers are sharing. And is that going to be hard for companies to realize that this isn't push marketing anymore? They need to get involved in that sharing. Can they share? Can they share the responsibility for their message? Do you know what I mean? That whole word share.
Well, can I just interrupt? Because I will tell you that one of the things that has become so crystal clear to me as I've really been thinking about this a lot is the whole thing about push marketing. It's all about the company and what the company wants. The company wants to sell more product. Well, we got to make that product good enough that, and maybe even better than what people want and expect, so they'll buy more of it. So it's all about pushing product and services out, hoping that you're going to be at the customer touch point, and then people will buy. And the difference now is, it's not so much about I don't think necessarily giving away free stuff or sharing specifically, as it is shifting perspective from one about, it's all about me, i.e. my company, and what I'm trying to achieve, versus being more attuned to what people want, what the market wants, or what the market segment wants. Because it's going to be easier, it already is, but it's going to be easier than ever before if these predictions that 8 experts you know, predicted how Web 2.0 will evolve in 2009. It's going to aggregate. Social networks are going to merge and come together. It's going to be easier to move our social graph around and connect up just once, and, you know, be able to leverage our data elsewhere. So it's going to be easier for people to participate, and that's just going to continue to grow. But it's going to be easier for companies to be able to listen and to be able to build an intuitive understanding of what people are really trying to get to. Does that ring true for anybody?
Yeah, go ahead. No, go ahead, Graham.
Well, I was going to say listening is really the key word, you know, and maybe there's two keywords there, sharing and listening. But yeah, you see people that really do get it, you know, like our friend Barry Judge at Best Buy, you know, with his Twitter account. And it's all about him listening. He wants to hear from people. You know, he wants your reaction to what do you think of these new commercials, you know, and it's letting go and it's realizing it's outside in flow is what you want, you know, and no more of this flowing from the inside of the company out to the customers, but it's outside in thinking, you know, and listening is what it's all about.
But so then let me propose this and talk about, this is such a huge risk, like to just kind of open themselves up and to take that listening thing one step further and to ask. So in considering a community manager role or a position, they really have to like take this huge step and this transition to say, we're going to, whether internally shift someone up, you know, into this role or else bring in someone from external, whatever. But we're going to put somebody, you know, that's going to be listening and talking with our consumers and asking things. But that same person is going to be listening internally and asking questions too. Do you see how like that's a huge risk, and it's really going to make people uncomfortable if they're traditionals. And, you know, I mean, they need to be ready for that, essentially, is what I'm saying. And so that's what I'm trying to help pass on, that message that, you know, it's a great job, and it's more than just connecting with the public out there. It's going to cause some changes internally. The one thing with Best Buy, when I saw them advertising for a community architect, and I still don't know what that position is. I don't know if they filled it. The job description was so short that maybe, I'm not sure if they've figured out what, you know, it is, but I see this whole shift as the whole architect. I love the word architecture. But I see the architecture of marketing and public relations departments changing. I'm a part of the Marketing 2.0 blog, group blog, and then the community. But, you know, someone proposed that what will happen in the future? In 5 years, will the community person sort of be managing the marketing and public relations departments? Does this frighten people? Do you think that's possible?
Oh, it's possible. And I totally agree that social media is changing PR and marketing forever, you know, and I think a lot of people are probably very scared about that, you know, because it amazes me that there's still a lot of PR people out there that just don't get it yet, you know.
Yeah.
There are many that do in our own social media breakfast group. There are several that get it big time. But I'm starting to think that, you know, 60-80% of the PR industry still doesn't. You know?
No, I absolutely think you're right. Say, I've sort of been remiss in or derelict in my duty as host to keep to our time, because we try to keep this under an hour, and that would actually be. That's like a topic for a completely separate show, because I think that's a big one.
It's okay. I shouldn't throw it out, but I just feel like the community manager role needs to be considered more than just a very granular thing.
Right.
I think that in the bigger picture, yeah. And no, I totally appreciate your inviting me here.
Oh, well,
and
thank you.
I could talk about this for a long, long time.
It's like an evangelist or something.
Kind of.
No, thank you for carving out this time on a Saturday morning. It's very much appreciated. And all you other guys, all you other gang members, thanks.
Gang
thank
members.
Thank you. All right. Funny, yeah, it was great to hear from you.
All right.
Yeah, it was.
Well,
have
I'm
a good
coming
Saturday.
Down. Coming down on Friday.
That's right, for the SMB party. Yeah.
For the social media breakfast, I've been remiss for so long. And so, yeah, so who are you guys going?
I'm signed
Tim,
up.
Am I going to meet you?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'll be there.
I'll be there. Paid my money.
Kevin Bacon. Yeah.
Bacon. All right.
I know. And Phil, you'll be there. Steve, I'll
be
there.
I'll be there. Yep. Absolutely.
Fabulous.
All right.
It's going to be a party.
All right. We'll see you there. Thanks, everybody. Have a great weekend.
Thanks.
Hey, you too.
Party. Take care. Bye-bye.
Out.